prophecy, and abandonment. The next morning, King Aristides was alarmed to be told by a servant that his youngest daughter seemed to have turned her bedroom into some kind of piggery. He and Queen Damaris had been worried enough already that, unlike her sisters Calanthe and Zona, who had allied themselves to rich landowners, Psyche had stubbornly refused to marry. The news that she was now consorting with pigs made up his mind. He travelled to the Oracle of Apollo to find out what the girl's future might be. After the correct sacrifices and prayers had been offered up, the Sibyl made this answer: "Garland your child with flowers, and carry her to a high mountain. Lay her on a rock. The one that will come to take her for its bride is the most dangerous being of earth, sky, or water. All the gods of Olympus fear its power. So it is ordained, so it must be. Fail in this, and the creature will lay waste all your kingdom, and discord and despair shall come in its train. You, Aristides, will be called the destroyer of your people's happiness." 10 days later, a strange procession wound its way out of the town, carried high on a litter, festooned with flowers, and dressed in the purest white. Sat a gloomy but resigned Psyche. She had been told of the oracle's pronouncement and had accepted it. Her so-called beauty had always been a source of irritation to her. She hated the fuss and stir it caused, how oddly it made people behave in her presence, and how freakish and set apart it made her feel. She had planned never to marry, but if she had to, then a rapacious beast would be no worse than a tedious fawning prince with moon-calf eyes. The agony of its attentions would at least be over quickly. With piteous wails of grief and sorrow, the crowd laboured up the mountainside until they came to the great basalt rock on which Psyche was to be laid for sacrifice. Her mother, Damaris, howled, shrieked, and sobbed. King Aristides patted her hand and wished himself elsewhere. Calanthe and Zona, their dull, elderly, but rich husbands at their sides, each tried their best to conceal the deep satisfaction they felt at the knowledge that they were soon to be the unchallenged fairest in the land. As she was bound to the rock, Psyche closed her eyes and breathed deeply, waiting for everyone to have done with indulging in their lamentations and shows of grief. Soon all suffering and pain would be over. Singing hymns to Apollo, the crowd wound its way down the hill, leaving Psyche alone on the rock. The sun shone down upon her. Larks called in the blue sky. She had pictured boiling clouds, shrieking winds, lashing rain, and dreadful thunder as accompaniments to her violation and death, not this glorious idyll of late spring sunshine and rippling birdsong. Who or what could this creature be? If her father had reported the oracle correctly, then even the high Olympians feared it. But she had heard of no such terrible monster in all the legends and rumours of legends on which she had been raised. Not even Typhon or Echidna had the power to alarm the mighty gods. Suddenly, a warm breath of wind ruffled her white ceremonial robes. The breath became a gust that pushed a cushion of air between her and the cold basalt on which she lay. To her great surprise, Psyche felt herself being lifted up. The wind seemed to be an almost solid thing. It supported her, holding her fast and carrying her up into the air.